Grace, mercy, and peace be from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Bible reading is about a wedding, and I've done a lot of weddings over the last 20 years, and one thing I've learned is always be ready. Always be ready, because anything can happen in a wedding. Always be ready for the bride or groom to want music that in the church it really doesn't have anything to do with God. It's just kind of a love song. You always got to be ready to kind of talk them through that. And maybe you ought to have this at the reception rather than in the worship service, which is directed to God. Always be ready for the groom to get cold feet the week before the wedding. Sometimes that happens and you got to help him out. Always be ready for a mother-in-law or a friend of the bride to object to about everything in the wedding and say, well, at my wedding we did it this way. Always be ready. You've probably seen this on TV, America's Funniest Home Videos. Always be ready for somebody to faint and collapse during the ceremony. That happens. Yes, these things happen, but you can't do much to predict or stop it. So as a minister, you aren't surprised when they do happen. In fact, one thing that's never happened at a wedding I did, but happened to my brother, is that one of his first weddings he did when he was a minister, two 80-year-olds were getting married, and the brother of the bride brought a shotgun right into the church. Well, that's what Jesus is telling us today, not to bring a shotgun, but always be ready. Always be ready, but not just for anything. Be ready for Jesus' return. Here are some details about weddings in the Jewish tradition in Bible times. The groom came to the bride's house, and the bride waited there for him to come. And as obvious in our Bible reading today, from Matthew 25, her friends waited with him, well, there at her house for him to arrive. And it says lamps, but these are probably torches, like sticks wrapped up with cloth and dipped in oil, and were lit. Now it speaks of 10 virgins. These are her friends, and that's not an uncommon number because we find that 10 persons were required at major events in the Jewish religion at that time. For instance, at a circumcision, or at the Passover, or even to have a synagogue service, you had to have at least 10 people present. These were witnesses. And of course, after the ceremony, the groom led the bride and all her friends and his friends back to his place, and they all followed. That's a little bit of the background, but what does this mean for Christians, this parable? Well, perhaps you've heard it explained many times that the groom is like Jesus Christ, that faithful spouse who is devoted to his bride, and the bride is the people of God. He's led a holy life, and he's promised to take her as his own. And so we as the people of God are waiting for our groom, Jesus, to come and return to us. This isn't just specific to Matthew 25, but throughout the Bible, we find many, many examples of this idea of a wedding or a betrothal between God as the groom and all of his people, all believers, as the bridegroom. At the cross, Jesus gives himself completely to her in the ultimate embrace. And the virgins in the story are all people who profess to be Christians. Those who would follow Jesus Christ are like virgins. It's not that they are holy in themselves. No, we have led sinful lives, but no matter what our past, God has purified us through faith in the Son of God. The virgin's sins are removed forever. They are forgiven. It is as if they had never sinned. Now, baptism in the name of Jesus brings this holiness to us as all of Jesus' merit is applied to that person as they are washed in that water. Speaking the faith publicly, telling other people what we believe God has done for us in and through baptism, is an affirmation of what takes place in baptism. And that's, my friends, why we Lutherans put so much emphasis on baptism and confirmation, and also receiving the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' story, of course, the groom takes his time in coming to meet the bride. We're left to imagine why. Maybe he's having fun with his friends and celebrating. But often today, we wonder why Jesus has taken so long to come back to us on earth. 2,000 years is a long time. And everybody says, why is it taking so long? Look at the world, the shape of the world. Why doesn't the Lord just come? Well, it's not for us to sit with our calendar and mark the days off and say, well, Jesus, I think you're late now. He wants us always to be ready. And so he didn't tell us the day, but he told us to be prepared. It can come at any time. Now, in the parable, all of the virgins get tired and fall asleep, the wise and the foolish. And I think this shows us that every Christian has faults. We grow weary in waiting for the Lord to act and come to us, and we get lulled to sleep. Not that we're snoring, but that we begin to listen to other voices rather than the voice of our Savior, and we are pulled away from God, and we doubt him, and we wonder if he's ever going to come, and why doesn't he help me with my problems or the shape of the world today? It is true that we all sin. No one is perfect. Far from it. We continue to sin, even though we are baptized, confirmed, and receiving the Lord's Supper. No one can boast of their own obedience. We all are depending on God's mercy. But the difference in the story is this. Five of the virgins were foolish. The Bible sometimes says they were wise in their own conceit. That is, so concerned with themselves that they take no thought of their spiritual welfare. They brought no extra oil with them to light their lamps with, just in case it grew to be a long time waiting. Now, don't we see this today in many people? Surveys say that about 80% of the people in the United States say they believe there is a God who is in control of all things. But less than 30% will show up in a house of worship on a regular basis. And why is it that during the last 20 years, when we had this tremendous economic development and our economy has grown like no other time in history, yet through that time, our churches receive less and less offerings when adjusted to the standard of living? What does that tell you about what most people are wise in? Wise in the wisdom of God or the wisdom of their own conceit? Now, these foolish ones are in trouble when they woke up because their lamps have burned down to nothing and they have no oil. The bridegroom's arrived, but they have nothing to do. Their purpose there, to light his path, cannot be fulfilled. And so they have to go buy more oil, and they miss the bridegroom when he came. They weren't ready. Now, the five wise virgins are prepared for such a delay. They brought the extra oil with them, but there wasn't enough to share. This reminds us of the Christian who prepares for a life of waiting for Jesus to return. The person who keeps in mind what's really important in life is not accumulating wealth or prioritizing status or possessions or leisure activity or none of this. But the true Christian is centered on that word of God that gives him hope and purpose for living now, and sees that the Lord is coming again as he promised, and that person wants to prepare for that. That faith and commitment to Jesus is of the first priority. This, my friends, is the oil that lights the torch that we bear. We take time now to store up that oil of the knowledge of faith, by hearing God's word as we do this morning, taking it to heart, by teaching the young ones so that they are prepared on the day of the Lord's arrival, by putting off our sinful ways, and by offering ourselves in service to God and his church. This is the fuel that we need for the long night that we face. in this world. I just got back from a trip to Michigan to see my mother, and boy, are they in a bad way there. You've heard it on the news about the auto industry collapsing, people out of work, and no jobs, and it's true. Some of my friends from high school, they just don't know what they're going to do in the years ahead. And then to top that off, in Detroit, there's this great scandal in the mayor's office that just went on, and the news is full of that all the time. Up there in the north, the future looks bleak at this time for those folks there. But I got to thinking, are they really worse off than the rest of us? The gospel's being preached. People are turning to prayer. And there are stories of people helping each other and befriending each other and showing love in ways that they hadn't before in good times. God is at work in their lives if they will only turn to Him and see His presence. And that's a good thing. So whatever the case, and whatever situation we find ourselves in life, our parable today from Jesus' lips tells us that we are to put our trust in God, whatever our situation. No, we haven't loved God as we should. We haven't followed Him as He has commanded. But He loves and forgives us, and He encourages us right now to fill our jars with the oil of faith, and then we will always be ready to meet Him when He comes. And on that day, we will enter into that eternal wedding banquet in heaven that we have just sung about in that wonderful hymn. Jesus says, always be ready. Jesus is coming. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard and keep your hearts through faith in Christ Jesus.